From San Francisco, this is Sheila Renee Backstage. Tonight, Sheila takes you backstage for a behind-the-scenes visit with today's music makers.
Hi, I'm Sheila Renee, and welcome backstage tonight with Tommy Shaw of Styx, the songwriter, guitarist, and vocalist. Tommy joined in 1975, and the band was already 6 years old. But 1981 is the year of payoff for Styx. Named the most popular band in America by the Gallup poll, a 2 million so far seller in their latest LP, Paradise Theater, on A&M Records. And their manager, Derek Sutton, who's been with them all along, was voted Manager of the Year for his innovative marketing techniques.
Sheila Renee Backstage will return in a moment. This is Sheila Renee Backstage. Tonight's guest is Tommy Shaw of Styx.
Tonight's the night we'll make history. As sure as dogs can fly. And I'll take any risk to tie back the hands of time. And stay with you here tonight.
Tommy came into town early for a big event we have in the Bay Area, Day on the Green. He visited with his old jamming buddies, Loverboy, who were playing on the bill that day. Later that evening, I ran into Tommy and the band again at the Squeeze concert at the old Waldorf. Tommy invited me to his hotel the next day for lunch and my fourth interview. I arrived 20 minutes early, anxious, of course, so I could get things started on time. I started in 1977 interviewing this band, just as they were about to break on the national scene. I feel closer to the group each time I have a chance to sit down and have a conversation with this talented and sensitive young man.
So take your seats and don't be late. We need your spirits high to turn on these theater lights and brighten the darkest skies. Here at the Paradise.
We have what I consider the best tribute album going right now, and
oh,
that's
yeah?
Paradise. I don't like the critics calling it a concept album. I rather like the word tribute. I mean, what a great tribute to pay to a wonderful old building.
Mm-hmm.
They're tearing them down all over the world.
I know.
This beautiful old
building. We really brought out a lot of memories from people in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Now that the album's been out and is as popular as it is, I constantly have somebody coming up and saying, you know, I used to work at that theater. I used to go there when I was a kid. And I've even found somebody who has some of the relics from that theater, who's a good friend. He just came up the other day and said, by the way, my uncle has a lot of the statues and a lot of the marble, and just he's got a warehouse full of the stuff from the Paradise Theater.
What you doing today? Money.
wish I could go into detail of what we're going to be doing next, because it is, I think our audience is really going to relate to it. We'd have never done this before this album became successful, but the next little project is going to be further in this direction than even the Paradise Theater is.
Was Jim Cahill responsible for the designing of all of those scrims and tying up every little piece of Paradise Theater?
Actually, what Jim did was he designed the film at the end.
The film.
And Jeff Ravitz, who's our lighting director, he works real closely with us. We come up with the ideas for things, and he's able to say, well, if you just scale it down a little bit, you know, it'll fit the stage, and if you knock off 5 feet off the end of, because we have these grandiose ideas, so if you knock off 5 feet on it this way, we can have it made for less than a fortune and it'll fit in a truck. And just seven.
Well, you know, a lot of people are saying that this is the biggest thing you've ever done, but I've seen you guys with more lights.
Well, we've had more stuff, more gadgets.
You've had more. But what I...
We're doing, the technology has improved now.
And what I'm seeing, Tommy, is a honing of emphasis. What I'm seeing is a honing in on emphasis.
You know, what you're seeing is lights that are lit in a theatrical way rather than just outbursts of as much, light as possible. Jeff really doesn't have as many lights. There are a lot of other bands with more lights, but Jeff Ravitz is a theatrical lighting designer. He does, in the summertime, he'll do summer stock, he'll design stage shows just to keep his chops up. Anybody who's been to the theater knows quite well that they do so much with so little. Just one overhead light can be so dramatic. Mm. And drama is the whole key to lighting.
Oh, yeah.
And Jeff has a good handle on the drama.
Your show has drama in it this year, with the way it starts out,
right,
the way it ends.
Yeah,
we are
so pleased that everybody's accepted that. I mean, they have just opened up a big new gate for us, and that's really, really encouraging to know that that people will accept that sort of creativity on the band's part, and to explore those kind of areas, as far as theater. Music is still the number one game for us. That's what we do. We write the songs.
And you sing the songs and you play the songs.
You know, music comes first, because music is what will be remembered, in history. And I think more than anything else, we'd like to be known for our songs after all the stage shows are gone, because people tend to forget what they saw. The songs will be on the radio for as long as somebody will play them.
I strut around the stage like a little king tonight. Word and every note that cries. But when the show is over and I'm all alone, can't reach my baby on the telephone, and everywhere I look, Mr. Loneliness is in the news. I'm so together and I act so civilized, but every time that things go wrong, I'm still surprised. Mother Nature's blues.
Styx has evolved to the point where they can afford to do what they want. Exercising creative restraint, however, they've put together a live show that adheres to the motto of less being more. When Backstage continues, we'll talk with Tommy about the band and the music.
Pardon me, you wouldn't happen to have a pair of glasses that needs polishing, would you?
A pair of glasses?
See, I suddenly have this urge for a cigarette.
I see. Well, what does polishing glasses have to do with your sudden urge for a cigarette?
Well, I do that instead of smoking.
You polish glass?
Well, sometimes. Sometimes I take a shower.
Here, take the glasses.
Oh, thanks.
That replace your craving for a cigarette, does it?
Well, that's one of the things.
Oh?
Like I said, sometimes I take a shower, sometimes I exercise, go for a walk.
Listen, where'd you learn all this anyway?
From the American Lung Association.
The American Lung Association?
They have this new program, see, called Freedom from Smoking.
Freedom from Smoking?
Helps you to kick the habit in just 20 days.
20 days?
On your own.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, do you find it's helped you?
Well, you don't see me smoking, do you?
No.
I mean, I really wanted a cigarette, but I didn't give in, did I?
No. Oh, you sure didn't.
Now, if I can just get rid of this urge to polish,
glasses.
Yeah, right. You wouldn't happen to have another pair on you, would you? Sunglasses, swim goggles?
If you really want to kick the habit but need help doing it, contact your local American Lung Association for information on their Freedom from Smoking program. As always, it's a matter of life and breath.
This is Sheila Renee backstage. Tonight's guest is Tommy Shaw of Styx.
No matter what sort of live show a band puts together, music is still the deciding factor. Styx has always had strong songs, but the latest album has definitely been the most successful to date, keeping them on the charts since the LP was released. This album, Too Much Time on My Hands, The Best of Times, wonderful, positive songs. I mean, there's not a downer in the bunch. There's not a...
Well, Lonely People kind of gets a little heavy.
Yeah, but that's a positive song in that there are a lot
it's,
of us.
Right. It's examining reality is what it's doing.
There are a lot of lonely people. I'm sure you get lonely in spite
loneliness
of being
is probably
around a lot
the,
of people.
Loneliness is probably the biggest
killer,
biggest problem that exists, especially with people who are in crowded places all the time. Because one thing I've found out, because I've just accepted being, you know, as big as we are, I've just finally accepted it, and I can say it to someone else, and they say, "Well, you're right." And I never did that before, and because now it's painfully obvious that the band is huge.
Number one in 17, number one in Gallup.
I never liked thinking in such terms like that, because I've always wanted to be still looking and trying to go for the reach for the stars like that, and we still are. But one thing that you find out when you get to this level is nobody wants to hear a rock star bitch about his problems. You're supposed to,
supposed to have it under control.
Somebody was telling me that Burt Reynolds said about John Travolta. He says, "Listen, the guy's good looking. You know, he'll work it out. You know, he's successful." And there's a certain amount of truth to that. So you have to develop a new way of venting certain things like frustrations and just normal human frailties.
Scary being up at the top and knowing that everybody is looking to you to give them what they want, but yet to give them something different at the same time?
No, because that's something we've always done anyway. It's just a different
from number 50
altitude now.
It's been the same all the way up to give the best you can.
I still love every little bit of it. Like when I was talking to the guys in Loverboy the other day at the Day on the Green, I got so excited because they're going through a lot of the same things that we went through at their level. They're a good band, and their people are starting to buzz on the band, you know, but still there are a lot of people who don't know them and never seen them. And they're doing a lot of good things. They're going out and opening up for a lot of bands instead of just saying, we're so big that we don't need to be an opening act. Mm-hmm. They're going out there and getting on a lot of shows, getting in front of people. And it's just really exciting to see that happening, because it wasn't that long ago that we were doing that.
What's exciting for me is to see a Tommy Shaw that I know works hard and is up at number one come into town early and come out and see everything that's playing in town. Because you know what that shows me? Down deep in your heart, you love music as much as all of us fans out there do. You aren't just in the studio to put out a record to tour.
No.
You're in it because you love the music.
No, and it's not for the cash either.
No, but you love the music. It was so great. Just seeing you there, participating.
I'll tell you, it was great to be at one and not be playing at it. So I was watching everybody else going through all the pain of doing that, because outdoor shows, you know how they're, even the best ones are always, there's a certain amount of fiasco that goes on, because you're just doing it on a shoestring.
That's true.
Normally, at a show, you have one stage manager, because usually the opening act hasn't developed a, you know, an entourage like that. So you have one stage manager, one set of people who do this job, and then there you are with five bands. Was it five or six? Six bands. Everybody's got their whole, all their people. Everybody's got their own idea of how the equipment should be, and it's just a headache after headache. And I admire the bands for getting up and going through that.
Light up, everybody. Join us in this celebration. Light up and be happy. Sweet, sweet sounds will fill the air.
Do you play many outside?
Not anymore. By the time we would close the show, you know, the people are so tired out there. I think it's a great vehicle for somebody like Loverboy or new bands. Pat Travers, you know, to get in that good slot. Because after people, you know, once again, flesh and bones, you can only hold up for so many hours. I was there for two bands and I got kind of tired near the end. And people come in there and they're feeling good when they walk in the door. And they keep feeling good for hours and hours and hours. And so if you're like the third band, you're in a prime spot. After that, people are starting to get tired. And you have a hard time holding them in their seats for an encore.
Yeah, it's true.
So anyway, we try to keep things real simple out here because we're playing so many dates. Trying to just keep it the same way every day. It's very complex. But after you get that system down, then it becomes kind of simple. It's a routine that you do every day.
The business of rock and roll is demanding, but Styx has shown that they have the fortitude and talent to make it pay off. They're now headliners, but only after many years of paying their musical and touring dues. Join us backstage. When we return, Tommy will reflect upon those early years.
So like it.
Like a free sample, mister?
A free sample of what?
New cigarette on the market.
Oh, no thanks. I'm trying to quit.
Well, these ought to help.
What?
They taste terrible.
Oh, look, I've tried that before. It doesn't work.
Oh?
I just go back to smoking my own brand again.
Yeah? Well, listen, if you really want to quit, can I give you some free advice?
Well, sure, why not?
The American Lung Association has a new program out, see?
Program?
Called Freedom from Smoking.
Oh, yeah?
Helps you to quit in just 20 days on your own.
20 days?
On your own, right.
Yeah, well, does it work?
It's been tested and proven, my friend.
Oh, really?
If you want to quit, it'll help you quit. If you want to never smoke again, it'll help you never smoke again.
Oh, I can't believe it.
It's true.
I mean, here you are passing out free cigarette samples on the one hand and advice on how to quit smoking on the other.
Look, just because I work for a living doesn't mean I'm stupid, right?
That's true.
Samples. Get your free samples.
If you really want to kick the habit but need help doing it, contact your local American Lung Association for information on their Freedom from Smoking program. As always, it's a matter of life and breath.
This is Sheila Renee backstage. Tonight's guest is Tommy Shaw of Styx.
The latest Styx tour, entitled Paradise Theater, has been an unqualified success. Their popularity is the result of many years of hard work, and as Tommy puts it, his life and the band's life have definitely had their ups and downs.
Half penny, two penny, both through the rand. He was exceedingly rich for such a young man. Sad story, old story, bring out the band. Another divorce, just a few hundred grand. Half penny, two penny,
you know, 72,000 tickets in 5 hours in L.A.
Yeah, I guess so.
Absolutely setting the world and the charts on fire.
And I can remember when we couldn't get arrested in Los Angeles.
Couldn't get arrested, indeed.
Playing at the Starwood Club.
Indeed, indeed.
For unimpressed, you know, people out there. But that's what you got to do. You got to pay those dues.
You know, this is about 11 years. My years are correct for Styx.
Oh, more than that.
12?
As Styx, yeah, going on 12 years. But 12. 20 years as far as some of the guys being together.
The dream started 20 years ago.
Yeah.
If you had time, I mean, you wrote a song, Too Much Time on My Hands.
Not exactly the story of my life.
Not the story of your life, indeed. But if you had too much time on your hands and you had a chance to do a solo album, would it necessarily be a Styx-sounding album? I mean, you could just...
Probably not.
Your heart's desire, what would you play?
Probably not, because none of us, I don't think that any of us really show our individual talent as much as we do. Our individual desires as much as we do the group, because a song will go through the creative gamut, gauntlet, is the right word, And it changes after the songwriter, after he'll hand it to the band, I'll say, listen to this. After it goes through that creative process and arranging the song, it changes drastically. So if Dennis wrote all the songs for an album, and we played all the songs, because Dennis just said, this is what I want you to play on, it would be a completely different album. The same would go for J.Y. or myself, because we all have different ideas how it would go. And it was sort of work it out. You know, we'll try everybody's ideas and we'll wind up, you know, compromising. Most of the albums are products of compromise. So anyway, to answer the question, if I did it, it would probably be similar, but there'd be a lot of different things.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying, you're so scared and all alone. Hangman is coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
I get a feeling that you really love the blues a lot. You and I have never really talked about it.
Well, I grew up with that sort of, not so much that like the real old blues, like the Muddy Waters
traditional
stuff. Yeah, but like more soul, I think probably soul more than blues, because I grew up playing that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I know
a lot of like the Commodores, and I used to play in the only white boy in the band called Bobby Moore and the Rhythm Aces for a while. They had a song called, back in the 60s, called Searching, Searching for My Baby.
Yeah.
Remember that song?
Yeah.
I played with those guys for a long time. Learned a lot. Learned how to, you know, sing with soul. Because those guys, I mean, they could just get down into it. And didn't it was pretty easy for me to jump into that. And I was a little blue-eyed soul brother for a long time. So I got out of that after I left Montgomery. Because I couldn't find too many people who were interested in playing that sort of music. And I didn't want to go move back in with my parents. I would go out there and play whatever I needed to play to get a gig.
Tommy wrote just a couple of songs on this latest album. He's satisfied with his work and what he's accomplished. Now, with personal problems behind him, he's ready to get busy writing on the next LP.
Pipeline, you're on the air.
Well, I'd rather be on it than in it.
What's that?
You looked outside recently?
No, afraid not.
I'm surprised your signal's able to get through.
That bad, huh?
I'll tell you who I feel sorry for.
Oh, who's that?
Those people with lung ailments.
Yes, well, what do you propose we do about the air pollution problem, sir?
Well, don't ask me, but if we don't do something, the whole country's going to go up in smoke.
You sound angry.
I am angry, and I'm also worried and concerned.
Well, as an angry, worried, and concerned citizen, you must have some ideas on how to reduce pollution.
Well, we can always cut down on our driving, join carpools, make sure our furnace is working right.
How about reporting violators of air pollution control laws?
You bet. Whatever it takes. Otherwise, like I said, the air's going to get so thick, your signal won't be able to get through.
Yeah, well, thanks for the call, sir.
Don't mention it.
Now, there's one for you, folks. The air's going to get so thick, our signal won't be able to get through. And I heard everything. Oh, boy.
The air. We're all in it together. Ask your local American Lung Association for information on how you can help clean it up. It's a matter of life and breath.
This is Sheila Renee backstage. Tonight's guest is Tommy Shaw of Styx.
Tommy Shaw feels that in order to uphold his end of the writing responsibilities, it's important to think about what he writes. When he writes a song, a number of factors come into play. Not only must the song pass his scrutiny, he must then present it to the rest of the band for their approval.
Cold brew.
Did this album go through very many changes from early concept and writing? Was it easier than, say, the other albums for Styx?
This was a pretty difficult album, just because, well, personally for me, it was probably the most difficult thing I've done, because normally during the 12-month period or 18-month period between albums, there's a lot of time to create and come up with little blips of ideas, you know, a little four-bar thing here, or an intro, or a little musical interlude for the middle. We just make these things up as we're messing around with sound check or something. And I spent 2 years going through this divorce settlement, or, you know, the proceedings, and that took up all my time. And I didn't realize it until, well, plus I was doing promotion to try and get away from doing the divorce stuff. And as a result, I didn't write hardly at all during the year. So Dennis wound up having to write a great deal of the album. Fortunately, he was, you know, his creativity was happening at the time. But too much time happened. I brought that to the band the next to the last day of rehearsal before we went in the studio. And before that, I had part of Snowblind and She Cares, and that was it. And that scared the hell out of me, you know, to think, well, there's going to be a Styx album and I got no songs on it. And all of a sudden, it just sort of broke through the ice, and too much time just happened like that. And it didn't. We went to rehearsal that day, and I showed it to the guys, and we learned it right there, and we played it, and we recorded it on the cassette off the monitor board. And I would almost defy you to tell the difference between that rough cassette and the way it sounds on the album if you were to just hear it playing in a room somewhere. It just happened that fast, and we didn't change it at all. Now I'm a jet fuel genius. I can solve the world's problems without even trying. I got dozens of friends, and the fun never ends. That is, as long as I'm buying. Is it any wonder I'm not the president? Is it any wonder I'm nothing more? Needless to say, I was real relieved. And now, after the album's out, it doesn't seem like there was any big deal, but I know that was a pretty unpleasant experience for me, being a songwriter and always being creative, to have shown up empty-handed like that. Now, you're the first person I've told about that, because now that I'm writing again, there's no, all that stuff is behind me.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that big a monster anymore.
Yeah, well, I remember the last time that you and I talked, you were going through this, and I made a specific effort in my mind not to talk to you about it, because it's a personal thing with you, and I don't like to mix my interviews with personal lives. I feel like you've got to have some of that to your own. And you told me about it right off. I mean, I was amazed that you were so honest about how you were feeling at the moment, because a lot of people need to keep something private.
Yeah, but at the same time, you can't keep everything inside.
Me so thought that I could call your bluff, but now the lines are clear enough. Life's not pretty, even though I try so hard to make it so.
want to talk to you about Snowblind. Because I don't use snow or anything else you want to talk about. Cocaine, whatever you want to call it. I don't use it, never have, don't intend to. I think it's a killer. And when I heard Snowblind, I didn't even think. Didn't come anywhere close to my mind that that was anything other than a love song. You know?
Well, yeah, it was metaphorically, it could have been taken that way. That's the way I like to do stuff. I don't like to be so direct on everything that you can't, it's not subject to interpretation.
Yeah. Just never entered my mind. And then
a lot of people think Sweet Man in Blue is a love song.
Instead of being a love song to the USA, indeed.
Yeah.
In fact.
So sometimes I hate to even say what the real meaning of the song is because it kind of shatters some people's ideas.
Oh, I know.
And that's the whole, to me, that's the beauty of another part of the beauty of writing lyrics is that it means different things to different people. Something that I like is like the Ronettes and that kind of music. And in fact, I've written something that I'm going to show to the guys. It might be on the next album. That's one of those kind of songs, the old Phil Spector type stuff. Mm-hmm. I love that kind of song, stuff where it starts out the chord, and then I'll sing something, and they'll play another chord, and I'll sing a little line, and then do 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 do. Almost Motown.
Oh yeah.
Like stuff. I love that.
Sheila Rene Backstage will return in a moment.
Thanks for listening tonight. I want to thank Peter Stupar of A&M Records for his extra effort on this interview. And I want to thank you, Tommy, for your time and for your loyalty and, of course, for your music. It's been really fun seeing you three times in 1 year. My guest next week, Journey, featuring Neil Schoen, Ross Valerie, and the newest member, Jonathan King. In the meantime, be kind to each other. I'm Sheila Renee. I'll be backstage again next week.
Sheila Renee Backstage was produced by Stephen Dunwoody and Billy Vega for the Broadcast Arts Group. This has been another Out of the Bag production.